7 while folks are filing in here. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost. He offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love. The love of God to me, it brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Verse 3, now by faith I claim him mine, the risen Son of God, redemption by his death I find, and cleansing through the blood. We just pray tonight. We had a little prayer meeting over in the corner there, and I was so impressed by the prayers, the fervent prayers that went up for the souls of any in the room tonight who might be lost and in their sins on the road to a lost eternity. The Lord Jesus loves you tonight. He wants to save you. He wants to make you his own. God paid a high price that you might be saved, that you might belong to him, that he might have you in his house forever. And some brother, start this number, please. We ask God's blessing. I have in my heart tonight a portion in the Old Testament, and we're going to read a chapter, and then we're going to look at some scriptures in the New Testament. I hope to be brief tonight. We've had 3 rather long days for some of the children, and so I hope to not go too long. And I'd like to tell you what's on my heart. You know, I come home from work, especially in the summertime when the evenings are long and the sun is up for a long time. And I like to go in the backyard when I get home from work, and I go out and there's usually 2 of my children or so in the swimming pool. And I walked out there by the side of the swimming pool, and they usually say, "Dad, will you come in and swim with us?" Or my boy might be out back playing catch, and he'll say, "Dad, will you play baseball with me?" And why is that? Well, you know, my children, they like to share my time. They like me to share my affections and my interests with them. And I think about that in connection with God tonight. You know, we have in our hands a wonderful book. It's God's Word, and it's God's Word to us. Did you ever think that God wants to share His thoughts with you? Isn't that a marvelous thought? That God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the One who fills the heavens, would condescend to share His thoughts with you. And you know, He wants to do more than that. He wants to share His home with you for all eternity. That's what He wants. And as we sang in that hymn, salvation full at highest cost, He offers free to all. Because it cost God the lifeblood of His own Son, that you might be saved, that you might have a home in heaven. With those thoughts in mind, I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 18. I'd like to read most of the chapter, if not all of it, to get the connection. Though we aren't going to talk about too much about specific verses, but I want you just to try and paint this scene in your mind as we go through and read the Scripture. Genesis 18 and verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto him, that's Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hasted into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Sarah, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. For she was afraid, but he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after them, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, and to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Let's go down to verse 32. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Stop there for a moment. Well, I hope you get in your heart what I get from this picture. You know, God came down and took upon him a human form that he might share his thoughts with Abraham. Isn't that lovely? Do you know that tonight God wants to share his thoughts with you? And what did he tell Abraham about? He told him about two things, and that's what we want to talk about tonight. He told him about blessing that was going to come upon his family, and we learn elsewhere that it was because Abraham believed God. He told him about blessing to come, but he told him about something else. He told him about judgment to come upon Sodom and Gomorrah because of their great sin. And you know, that's the gospel story tonight. And God has revealed it to us in his word. You know, there's blessing to come for those that have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's judgment to come for those that reject it. And God shared that with Abraham. And tonight we have a gospel meeting. And God has shared those things to us in his word for our instruction and blessing. Do we have an ear to hear what God has said? Was God as good as his word? Let's go forward here a little bit. Let's go down to verse 14 of chapter 19. And Lot went out. Lot was Abraham's nephew, for those of you that don't know the story. This is why Abraham had an interest in what the Lord was going to do there in Sodom, because he had a man down there that was his nephew that he had brought with him out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees. And Abraham loved that man, Lot, and he did not want him to be destroyed in the overthrow of that city. And that's why we have a gospel meeting tonight. We love your soul. God loves your soul more than we do, and he does not want you to be destroyed in the judgment that's going to come down upon this world. And so Abraham pleads for Lot. And so God does not spare that city, but he calls Lot and he brings him out of that city. And that's what God wants to do with you tonight. He wants to deliver you from this world that's heading on to destruction as sure as it can be, as sure as God's word is true. And here we find, Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Let's go down to verse 27. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the furnace went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Now let's move up to chapter 21 to see the answer to the other thing of which we spoke. Verse 1 of Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived, and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son, which was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And verse 6, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear me will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Was God as good as his word? Did he do what he said he was going to do? He did. He did. And Abraham got to share God's thoughts about the future. And God wants to share that with you tonight. He wants to tell you his plans. He wants to share with you his thoughts concerning his beloved son. Oh, he wants to have fellowship and communion with you. Can you imagine that scene? Abraham preparing that meal, sitting down there with the Lord of glory, Jehovah, and those two angels. That sweet fellowship that they had together, as God is able to share his thoughts with Abraham. Wouldn't you like that to be true of yourself? Wouldn't that be lovely? And he tells him of coming blessing. And we find it happened just as God said. God made a promise. God kept his promise. Our brother had in the Sunday school this morning, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God speaks the truth. When he says something, that's what he's going to do. And we find it fulfilled here in the word. Abraham gets up in the morning and he looks off at Sodom and Gomorrah and he sees the smoke going up to heaven. God had said he was going to judge that place, and he did. And God has promised he's going to judge this world, and he will. When will it happen? I don't know. You don't know either. But you know, if you stay behind, you're going to be lost. Lot's sons-in-law heard the message, didn't they? Lot came to them with a faithful warning. Up, get you out, for the Lord will destroy this city. And he seemed as one that mocked. They didn't listen. They didn't have an ear for it. Oh, I just pray tonight that you'll have an ear to hear what God has to say. Oh, he wants to share his thoughts with you. He loves you. He paid a great price that you might be saved. Let's turn to John chapter 14. In verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Would you think about that for a moment? Our brother in his address yesterday spoke about fathers. Think of the loveliness of these words, in my Father's house. Do you know that God sent his Son, his eternal Son, down from heaven into this world that you might have a home in the Father's house? That you might be able to spend all eternity with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That you might know God. Oh, how could we who were sinners ever know God? How could it be? Well, it's so. It says here, I go to prepare a place for you. Was that heaven? No. The Lord Jesus was going to Calvary's cross. That was the price that must be paid that you and I might be able to be saved. Why? Because we were sinners. We could not go to the Father's house in our sins. Our sins must be taken care of. And the Lord Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And just a short time after this, the Lord Jesus went to Calvary's cross. And there he died for your sins and for my sins. And he was raised again the third day. God accepted that work that Jesus did on the cross. Jesus lives. Tonight he's in the glory. That sign that God is satisfied with all that he has done and that you can come to him now without any fear that you'll be turned away. Jesus has paid the price that you might be saved. That you might have a home in the Father's house, and he's made a promise here. If I go away, I will come again and receive you into heaven. Oh, that would be wonderful, but that's not what it says. Unto myself. Oh, he wants to spend all eternity with you. And he wants to spend his time with you down here too, doesn't he? You know, the Lord went up from communing with Abraham, but it need not be so in your life. God wants to have fellowship and communion with you from this point on, right on into eternity. He wants to share his thoughts with you. He wants to share his thoughts concerning his beloved Son. And in eternity, he will share his home with you. Is that what you want? Oh, I hope so. Does that not awake a longing in your soul? Would you not like to know God? Would you not like to know the Lord Jesus, that one who paid that price that you might have a home in the Father's house? But you know, if our words tonight seem to you like mocking, as Lot's sons-in-law said, oh, we don't think anything's going to happen. And they stayed there in that city, and the judgment fell. Because God is as good as his word. If he says something, that is what is going to happen. Abraham saw it fulfilled before his eyes. God said something was going to happen, and that's what happened. He got up in the morning, and there that city had gone up in smoke. And this world is going to come under the judgment of God. Let's turn to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3, in verse 3, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Our brother made a comment, I think it was yesterday. God said it, and that settles it. You know, that's true. God said it, and that settles it. But if you're going to have the blessing in your soul, you have to believe it. You've got to make it good to yourself. You have to say, yes, I am a sinner, and yes, I believe that Jesus died for me. And yes, I accept him as my Savior. And then you'll have the blessing of it in your soul. God said it, and that settles it, and if you don't receive it, you're going to fall under the judgment that we have just read about here. And you know, there's some that say, where is the promise of his coming? Well, nothing has changed ever since I've known the world, but that's not true, because God pronounced judgment in the days of Noah, and God was long-suffering. He waited 120 years while the ark was preparing, and Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and the souls didn't listen to the word which Noah spake. But the judgment came anyway. And those that were not in the ark perished. And the world was overflowed with water. And God was as good as his word. He said he was going to judge the world, and he did. He waited a long time. And oh, God has waited a long time. You know, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, but it's been nearly 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus was crucified. Oh, God has been long-suffering with this world. And why? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, God has given you his word because he wants to share his thoughts with you that you might enjoy heaven with him. He wants you for his own. He does not want to judge you in your sins, but he will bring judgment. The day of judgment is coming. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. Yes, there's a judgment that's going to fall on this world. And you might say, well, I don't have very much faith. But you know, Sarah didn't have very much faith either, did she? No, she laughed, the word of God. But if we turn to Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive, because she judged him faithful that had promised. Oh, she didn't have very much faith. And we can hardly even detect it when we read the book of Genesis. But when we get to Hebrews, we find that she had a little bit of faith. And we find, when we get to Hebrews, we find she had a little bit of faith. And you know, a brother quoted the verse, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Oh, you know, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that faith is a gift of God. He wants to give you faith. And so, if you feel like you don't have very much faith, you ask God, and he'll give you faith. He'll give you the faith to believe. Oh, he wants to save you. He wants to bless you. He wants to make you his own. He wants to give you a home in his house. Wouldn't you like to be at home in the Father's house? Doesn't that sound inviting to you? To think what God has done, the price that he has paid that you might be able to be there. Oh, it cost him his own beloved son. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Let that get a grip on your soul, that God gave his own Son, sent the Lord Jesus down into this world that he might go to Calvary's cross and there die, that he might have you for himself. Can you believe that? That's God's word. Could you doubt that he wants you? He has done everything to provide for your salvation. And what is left for you? Oh, you must believe it. You must receive God at his word. You must take him at his word and say, yes, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. God wants you to bless you tonight. Oh, I hope there's no one that's going to be like Lot's sons-in-law and say, no, I don't want to share God's house. I don't want to share God's thoughts. I don't want to share God's word. I'd rather have what this world has to offer. It's going to go up in smoke. It's all going to be destroyed. It's all going to perish. Anything that you can see, the things which are seen are temporal. Anything you can lay your eyes on, it's going to be gone. It's going to be burned up. But the Father's house is an eternal home, and he wants to have you there with him. He's done everything that it might be so. Won't you come to the Lord Jesus tonight? Let's just pray. Blessed God, our Father, we thank thee for that marvelous invitation that thou hast given. We thank thee for thy precious word in which thou...